towards justice. Part 7. Practical Justice. Justice must be based on the whole truth, including all of the facts, all of the circumstances, and all relevant history. Justice must consider the capacities, circumstances, motives, histories, personalities, and attitudes of offenders and offended. Harming a young child is a more serious offense than harming an older child, which is in turn more serious than harming an adult in the same manner. It is essential to incorporate the perspectives, biases, and motives of all sources of information in order to evaluate the veracity of statements and weigh them appropriately. Justice workers must have high intelligence, high objectivity, open minds and hearts, and extraordinary wisdom. Wisdom requires extraordinary love, meaning an awareness of unity with all, not sentiment, emotion, or desire of any kind. Justice workers must care deeply about all people and about justice, while having no overwhelming personal opinions and an extraordinary lack of bias. Justice workers must have the ability to detect truth and untruth. This may take the form of clairvoyance or an acute sensitivity. Children typically know when people are lying, and adults can recover this faculty. Our bodies become stronger when truth is spoken or thought, and weaker when untruth is spoken or thought. Small teams of justice workers are ideal because combining perceptions and viewpoints can lead to fuller perspectives. Nobody perceives all. Justice must include restoration by the offender to the harmed. Since people want different things, need different things, create with different levels of skill and effort, and are responsible to different degrees, justice does not mean everyone having equal things. Punishment for illegal actions needs to be commensurate with the level of harm done and with the risk of recurrence by the offender or others. It is essential for everyone, and especially justice workers, to comprehend the extent to which human beings are controlled by money. When someone's well-being and even survival are threatened by lack of money, most people today can be induced to immoral action. How many of us have the courage and fortitude to face starvation, exposure to the elements, or public shame for ourselves and our families? When monkeys were taught to use money, which took several months, they stole when an opportunity arose, and they started buying sex. Reference: Experiments on Capuchin Monkeys at Yale, 2006. To find a culprit, follow the money. People not only do not remember living without money, most cannot even conceive of life without money. Money is the primary method used to control human beings and is immoral in its inception. It has literally carried a curse of fear of not having enough, fear of letting it go, need for more, and subservience. This curse is being reversed by some beings of very high consciousness. Use of money will be required until the human race is more mature. Money and its control over people is a factor in almost all human conflicts. The second most important way that human beings are controlled and induced to immorality is by manipulating our beliefs and spiritual experience. Beliefs, ideas that are accepted as truth without sufficient evidence, result from both instruction and experience even before children are able to talk. It is natural for children to accept assertions of their caretakers and authorities as truth, since children are dependent and lack experience and discernment. It is difficult and often painful to uncover and examine one's beliefs. Many people identify themselves with their beliefs and reject even family members with different beliefs. For a society to be healthy and thrive, it is crucial to teach children the truth and foster healthy beliefs. Faith is accepting ideas that are unseen or unknowable as truth. Faith and beliefs can enable people to heal themselves instantly of medically incurable diseases, or to kill themselves or others for a future benefit they believe in. It is useless, or worse, to simply contradict or discredit someone's belief, especially if that belief is associated with a spiritual experience. Building a bridge between spiritual experience and reliable facts, common sense, and reason is an important step in reaching truth and justice. Certain areas of the human brain can be stimulated to produce so-called spiritual experiences. Visions, actual audible voices in one's head, or thoughts can be induced, chemically as with psychotropic plants or drugs, electrically by direct stimulation, electromagnetically as with cell towers, arrays, or mobile phones, by auditory signals, by group peer pressure, by individual charisma, or by a combination of these methods. When a spiritual experience is associated with a particular person, group, or set of ideas, those people or ideas take precedence over facts, reason, and moral principle. Establishing justice thus involves moral education and, in some cases, deprogramming. Just because spiritual experiences can be induced by brain stimulation, and just because spiritual experiences cannot be verified by material proof, and just because many people attribute inaccurate perceptions, irrational ideas, and wild emotions to spiritual experiences, does not mean that all spiritual experiences are invalid and are to be discounted. There are people with genuine clairvoyance and other faculties that are extremely accurate and verifiable, and two or more such people can examine a situation and agree on observations, just as two or more people can agree on a physical measurement. Just because some people do not have a faculty does not mean that no one has that faculty, or that the faculty is not genuine. Just as our physical eyes and ears, smell and taste can be trained to detect fine points accurately, our other faculties can also be trained to detect fine points accurately. A truly just solution to a conflict encompasses the welfare of all, including the offender. Doing harm to others always eventually and naturally results in pain to the harmdoer. It is therefore not compassionate to allow someone to continue harming others. The keys, however, are eventually and naturally. The time lag may be longer than a lifetime, and we usually forget, so it appears that unfortunate circumstances are random acts of nature. However, it is nature itself, or God, that brings the balance. Therefore, it behooves us to teach our children and fellow humans that pain-causing actions result in painful consequences to oneself, and to create laws that reflect this truth until we don't need laws anymore. There are times when someone who has done harm has realized what they have done, feels the pain caused, and takes full responsibility, and deeply wants to do anything necessary to remedy the situation. In some of these cases, the world would benefit far more by the offender serving rather than suffering. In these cases, justice is best served by a loan of sorts, allowing the offender to avoid the usual personal consequences and to make up for harm done many times over by teaching or contributing to a healing process. For the offender, this can be called grace. For society, it is wisdom. We can and must attempt to create justice, individually and in society. Justice cannot be achieved by adhering to a code without using our intelligence and hearts, but rather it is a creative endeavor requiring all of our best human faculties and efforts. Further, the goal of minimizing a future recurrence depends on the responses of offenders and others, so there is infinite opportunity for solutions for an infinite variety of wonderful souls.